Up with us next on PT Talker is Dr. Colleen Russell. She is a PT, DPT, physical therapist working in California, and she has an exciting story to tell because she's working with Olympic hopefuls who are getting ready for London 2012. Coming up on the next episode of PT Talker.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
And we're back with Colleen Russell. Colleen, welcome to PT Talker.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I am excited to have you because you must have one of the better physical therapy jobs in the world, and that is working with athletes who are trying to get to the Olympics, and you have the pleasure of doing that now for a while. But first, before we get into that, let everyone know your credentials. You are a PT, DPT. You are the clinic director of San Luis Sports Therapy and Orthopedic Rehabilitation in San Luis Obispo, California. So, how did you get involved in working with Olympic athletes, Olympic hopefuls?
Well, a couple things. I've been working with athletes a little more intensely over the last 4 years, with this last year being this coming year being an Olympic year. This last year, San Luis Obispo is a training area for a lot of athletes of various sorts because of the weather, and they can train year-round. And I had two people approach me, had heard of me word of mouth and from working with other athletes, and contacted me and asked if I would take a look at each one of them. They were about a month apart when they had contacted me, had multiple injuries, and, of course, with their goal of going to the Olympics here in the summer, they wanted to get a handle on it. This was probably in October, November of 2011. And so they both came in, and one thing led to another, and then here we are. They both have qualified for nationals, and we're on the home stretch.
Yeah. So do you feel some extra pressure are there different things that you do? Obviously, these folks are very high level and highly motivated, but what would be some of the, how would you approach them differently than say, if my mom were to come see you at your clinic?
It's definitely a lot more pressure now, especially in the beginning they had pain, and that's something that we're used to. If somebody comes in, they have knee pain. First it's to decrease their symptoms and then get them back to their prior level function. Well, their prior level function is a little more intense than being able to get up and walk across the room. So once we got the pain subsided and then slowly being able to return to the track, they also, because where they were at in their training, they were not able to just stop all activities altogether. So we were having to slowly increase intensity in physical therapy without overdoing it because they train 6 hours a day outside of physical therapy. So when dealing with the overuse injury, trying to take that stress away while enhancing performance at the same time has been very tricky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now how would you separate yourself from the athlete trainer? Do they also work with an athletic trainer as well? And how are you separating your roles and how
they
would you do, find
Well, at this time they do not. They did previously work with an athletic trainer. However, every time they would return to their competition, they had recurring knee pain. So that's when they had looked into some treatment beyond the athletic trainer and somehow had made it into our clinic.
Yeah, okay. Now, I know that you obviously see a normal population as well. You're not just working with Olympic hopefuls.
I do. I have a wide range of patients.
Okay. So can you tell me a little bit about the regimen that you go to, and if someone out there listening might want to try and identify or work with some athletes, maybe not Olympic hopefuls, but athletes, talk to us a little bit about how you approach the whole treatment regimen differently and I certainly understand the Olympic hopefuls are practicing 6 hours a day, mm-hmm. but just athletes in general versus, you know, someone that comes in that's maybe a little bit more sedentary.
Basically all the athletes, I sort of take a very similar approach. About 3 years ago, I started doing, Robert Donatelli has a sport-specific rehab certification, and I had got wind of that and took his courses and to get the certification myself. And whereas an athletic trainer is more of the acute injury, this took the physical therapy side all the way from injury to return to sport. And that really changed my thought process and my treatment for patients in general, but most specifically athletes of all sorts. And honestly, it comes down to looking at their function. How are they approaching it? If they are having knee pain or some of these overuse injuries, what is causing it? It's great that we can decrease some of the pain with our ISR stretches and our specific manual therapy techniques, but there's a reason that these areas, these tissues keep getting inflamed and overused. So it's more of taking the overall approach. I have athletes whether it be a young athlete or an Olympic hopeful, video themselves on the field, and I bring it in and I slow it down and I watch, okay, when are you having the pain? And they talk about it, and slowing it down and watching how they're landing, and then breaking it down from there joint by joint, how, for instance, these two athletes both had a knee pain, different, a little bit different in each other, but at the same time, I looked at the overall approach, and both of them, extremely weak hips, asymmetries in the hip itself, some range of motion limitations in the ankle. So some of these other things were contributing to the knee pain itself. And that's sort of the approach I take with all the athletes. And ironically, I sort of see a common theme of very, very weak hips and weak core. And Robert Donatelli and Chris Powers down at USC in Southern California have both done a lot of research on these areas of identifying the hip and the core as weak links in athletes of all levels and contributing to overuse injuries.
Yeah, well, let's go there. For someone that might be listening, how do you identify specifically the weak hip? What are some of the tests you do?
Watching them walk usually is my first thing. And then having them do a squat by themselves and then a jump squat where they're jumping off at about an 8-inch step and seeing how they land. If they are these are Olympic athletes and they bring in their video, I watch that and how they're landing. Does the knee come into valgus? What does their foot do? Does it collapse into pronation? And then I I test the hip range of motion itself, usually in prone and seated to see if there's asymmetries there, and then isolated external rotators, glute max and glute med manual muscle testing.
And is it usually pretty obvious?
Huge obvious, and especially I do that after I'm manual muscle testing their quadriceps and hamstrings where they feel like, because they do work out a lot, they're all athletes, they're very strong, and then I test their hip, and I've had semi-pro football players who I use my pinky finger and they can't even hold up against that.
Wow.
So it's usually an eye-opening experience for them, and then they buy into the thought process and the reasoning why I want to address these things when I break it down and show them how this contributes.
Right. Now, what do you specifically do then for the weak hips?
Usually I try to start out with a sideline hip abduction. I have had a few athletes who are so weak in their glute med they can't even start out with that. So I will start out with a clamp. I do not like the clamp as much just because it puts the hip a little bit more into a flex position, and most of them, their hip flexors are tight and overpowering anyway. So most of the posterior fibers of the hip I'm trying to isolate. So I would usually try to start out with a sideline hip abduction and then a prone hip extension with the knee bent to 90 degrees for glute max.
Okay. All right.
The rotators all do on the with lying on their side with the leg sort of hanging over the edge of the table at a 90-90 position and coming up into a rotation.
Yeah. But you know, did I hear you right? You said you might even have some athletes that can't even do a sideline straight leg raise?
Yes. I had a football player who was on the leg press doing 900 pounds and kept rolling his ankles, and he came in and he could not hold his leg up against any resistance at all. It dropped. He couldn't even do a sideline hip abduction. So he had to start with clams, and after 10 clams, he was fatigued.
Wow, wow. And was that because of pain or just because of absolute weakness?
Absolute weakness.
It's just, okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and for him, he kept spraining his ankle and rolling his ankles, and after strengthening his hip, he never rolled his ankle again.
Yeah, so I guess the message here is you're saying, maybe something that's not obvious but fairly common might provide a pretty quick solution to some ongoing problems for some of these athletes, which then makes them appreciate what you do, your expertise, gives you so much value.
Mm-hmm. And not only has it helped to prevent injury, but it has been shown to enhance performance. So one Olympic track athlete that I have right now, he was concerned because we were doing a lot of hip strengthening and core, and we hadn't really started plyometric and some of that higher intensity weightlifting. And I tried to tell him that this would be, let's start here, and this would show results as well. And he returned to the track for the first time, and a gentleman on his track team, where they were usually neck and neck off the blocks, he blew him away by quite a few seconds. And now, having that happen was really the first time he really bought into me wanting to strengthen his hips and his core. He couldn't believe it. By just doing that, it enhanced his performance by that much without doing any plyometrics, where his friend had been doing plyometric and agility training and everything else for the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm. So of your professional work week, the hours that you spend professionally, what percentage are you spending working with this very high-level group of folks?
Oh, I would say probably with the Olympic athletes themselves, a smaller percent, 5%. But athletes in general of various levels, probably 25 to 30%.
Okay. And is this a money-making area for physical therapy? Is this something that our listeners might be able to use to enhance their practice?
It is. There's not a whole lot that in California that we're able to do as far as insurance-based. We can do a wellness-based type of program. If somebody came in without an injury or without pain and they just wanted to enhance performance or prevent injury, we could do that on a cash-based type of program. As soon as there is any pain, it does have to go through insurance, but then you're limited there. I am fortunate to work in a facility where we also have a gym component to the facility. It's run by two different people, but we have worked together to do some combination cash-based program, injury prevention, performance enhancement type of stuff.
So it's connected somehow in the same building?
Same facility.
So someone could come in, and once insurance is over, they could still utilize the equipment. A physical therapist is still walking around.
Exactly.
But different than going to the Gold's Gym.
Exactly. And then there's some that just hear about things that we're doing and they don't necessarily have pain, but they want to enhance their performance or prevent future injury, and they'll come in and just do a cash-based program from the start where I'll go through and do more of a functional analysis, movement analysis, where it won't be covered through insurance at all, and they're just paying cash. And I go through that whole analysis in the beginning and then identify areas for improvement, which is most of the time parts of the hip and the core, and then design a program for them from there.
Okay. All right. Well, very helpful. Good information. Thank you for sharing with us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, anytime. Colleen Russell, Dr. Colleen Russell, PT, DPT. She is the clinic director at San Luis Sports Therapy and Orthopedic Rehab out in San Luis Obispo, California. I knew I was going to mess that up. So anyway, I'm an Indiana guy. So, but anyway, thank you again for joining us. And I hope that our listeners out there have found something in your comments today that will help them to be a better physical therapist and hopefully help someone get well today. As I hope that's what you're always thinking. Thanks to all of our listeners. Feel free to share our information freely because it is provided at no charge, and we are available on iTunes. This is Jeff Worrell saying so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.